DMing each other, decided to go over to her house, got drunk, had sex, left. 3 weeks later, Taser and Pricker.
We host, we talk, we write, we laugh, we cry, we love. We are Black Mums Upfront.
So I just want to start by outing Natalie, okay? Because she's supposed to be here, but I know why she's not here. I think it's because she's gone to get her hair done today, because today is a special day, isn't it, Karina? We don't just have any guests on today.
So wait, are you saying that she went to get her hair done to impress our guest?
I think she went to get her hair done to impress our guest.
I video called her today, to be fair, and she literally was sitting pretty like mama fucking Africa. Like, literally, like, hair freshly washed, like, blow-dried, everything. She was like, yeah, I'm going to the hairdresser today. So I feel like she definitely tried to make an impression on someone, or she's got plans this weekend.
I think it's because today we don't just have any guest. We have a man.
I feel like we've let the man, like, infiltrate our safe space. But do you know what? I don't mind, because it's a man I know and a man I like. It's my friend.
It's not just any man. It's not just any man.
Yeah, it's not just any man. It is. Let's have a drum roll. It is fellow podcaster and girl dad. It is Taser from Three Shots of Tequila.
Woo, 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 woo.
Yay.
What's going on, ladies? You all right?
We are good. We've all got our hair done for you. I've got to stop this. This is very anti-feminist, isn't it? I'm like,
no, don't, because I've got a wig on, Andy, and I'll pull it off. Like, you know, I don't care. Just pull it off and give someone like a shock. But yeah.
We say Queen Latifah underneath, yeah?
No, it's not even, because you know I cut my hair off, so my hair's like mad short now. So literally it's just like my stocking foot cap underneath, and that's it.
Is it like mine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got a level two fade and that.
Level two. You would suit a level two though, Karina. You could pull it off.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Really could, yeah.
She could. You've got Taser, a nice head.
Taser, introduce me to your barber, please, and then I'll do it.
Is it Northwest?
Yeah, that's all right. I heard there's some man them up there, so I don't mind going.
When
Northwest.
You're ready, let me know.
Yeah, I will. Hook me up, please. Taser, how are you?
I'm good, man. Suffering from hay fever, but I'm good.
I was about to tell you to man up.
Do you think black people get hay fever more than white people?
I mean, I don't know.
Just killed the conversation with that question. But I just wonder, because I get hay fever, and I know a lot of people that do, and I've got a theory that, yeah, it's like black people get it worse, but, you know, maybe I just need to let that go. I don't know. So you're well, you have a bit of hay fever, and you're very brave for being on here.
Yeah.
Black Mums up front, getting up front. With 2/3 Natalie's joining us, women.
Have you listened to any of our pods, Taze? Because you know we talk about any and anything. They get like a little bit saucy sometimes.
Do you know what's weird? I don't actually listen to anybody's podcast. I don't even listen to mine.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, fine then. I mean, that's put us in our place, hasn't it?
I mean, there's nothing to take personal, but you know, after you keep podding and podding.
I understand.
Yeah. I don't really listen to pods. I've listened to a couple of Three Shots pods, and mainly because I'll see people chatting about it on Twitter or on socials, and I'll be like, oh, let me go and listen. But obviously the banter that you lot have amongst each other is second to none. So whenever I listen to it, I always end up like busting up with laughter. So it's always good vibes. But so before we get into the pod, I want to have a little bit of fun. So unfortunately, we don't have any tequila. I am drinking a cider, so that will have to do. But let's imagine we were having a tequila shot of your childhood, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, look, he's got his shot there. I like it.
Ah, he's ready and waiting. Is that water? Is that a shot of water?
You can pretend it's tequila.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to ask you some questions and you can't think about it. You just have to say the first thing that comes to your head, yeah?
Okay.
What memory is the salty one? Or when did you throw a bit of salt?
Probably when I got beats. When I got beats from my dad.
Who beat you more, your mum or your dad?
My dad.
Okay, it's African dad.
Yeah.
And was it like proper beats? Like
what? Yes.
Oh, we're going to come back to that. Okay, we're going to come back to that.
Okay.
What memory would be the shocking tequila shot? So like, e.g., I don't know, when Lucy dumped you when you were in year four.
Okay, I know. I didn't dump.
Look at someone. This toxic masculinity.
No, there was a girl that I liked, yeah. But when it came to Valentine's Day, for some reason, her cousin tried to do the whole like get me flowers and cards and all of that stuff, and I literally
the cousin. Did for
as in from the cousin from or her, from her.
Or, yeah.
No, the cousin liked me.
Oh,
so what I found out that day that the reason why I couldn't get the girl that I wanted, it was because her cousin liked me, and her cousin decided on Valentine's Day to approach me by the water fountain and give me roses and cards and all that stuff. And I literally just like threw them on the floor. Yeah, like it's not you that I'm in.
How old were you, Taser?
Year six. So this was I was probably about 11. My 11.
So hold on, you were starting out this toxic masculinity early.
No. Threw them on the floor.
No, I wasn't interested.
So the cousin was cock blocking you?
Basically, yeah.
So hold on, I'm going to get to the final.
Maybe the cousin loved him and was like deeply invested in it.
Could
and
you imagine?
She's in therapy now, age 38 or something.
What still struggling. What
is that
got to do with me?
So hold on. Before I ask you the final question. So if that was to happen now, yeah. Say you had a crush on someone now, mm-hmm. and their cousin liked you and they gave you flowers and whatever. Because I've seen your Insta stories, you know. I've seen the gyalim declaring their undying love for man like Taze and that, yeah? So if that happened now, what would you do? Would you do the same thing? Throw the flowers on the floor and that?
I wouldn't throw it on the floor. I'd probably accept.
Place it on the floor.
Accept it and put it down carefully. Accept it,
but then like speak to her on the low. Like, listen, you know, it's not that kind of thing.
Okay. I apologize. I like your cousin.
I'm not. Yeah. No, I wouldn't even tell her that. I'm saying I'm not interested.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay. So you've changed your approach up a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. That's good to hear.
That's good to know.
I don't want to hurt nobody, you know?
All right. The last one is, what memory would be bittersweet?
From when you say young, what age?
Just from any age or any even age. Last year. That was you know, when you were younger. Now,
so
yeah.
The bittersweet feeling. I know. When me and my business partner got hit with a tax bill that was unexpected, but it felt like we actually had a company.
Yeah.
We went from like, hey, I have a company to we actually have a company.
Yeah.
So I think that was like a bittersweet feeling because it was just like, you know what? You just got to put our heads down and continue working.
How much was the tax bill?
That's a bit personal, Karina. Look at that. Going in, it could have been like $3.99.
I want to see what income bracket he's in, okay. So I can start. You know,
I'll say this: anybody who knows business, there's a certain threshold you pass where you start after where you start having to put VAT on.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we passed that.
Okay, we got a tax bill for last year. That we didn't file our, all of us are just so, not ignorant, like Endy's self-employed, so she knows about this, but Endy's the worst person.
So I'm quite ignorant.
Yeah, that too. So, but we have an accountant, and then we got a letter from HMRC basically saying, on top of the tax bill, we have to pay £100 each because we filed it late. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, we literally spoke to somebody in December and I was like, listen, yeah, I know everyone's been losing money. HMRC have been giving out furlough checks and this, that and the other, but it's not me you're going to come and try and get fine from. It's not me in this pandemic. I'm sorry. So I had to send an email. I was literally ringing my accountant. I was like, Vanessa, I'm not paying this. Blah, blah. She was like, all right, Karine, if you remember the day you spoke to them, send them an email and tell them the day and the time and blah, blah, blah. Listen, I started pulling out receipts and I sent it to, I thingied it. What's the word I'm looking for? Contested it.
Yeah.
And they sent me a thing saying, oh, we've reviewed it and you don't have to pay it. I was like, I was never going to pay it anyway, ever. Like, I'm not giving HMRC £100. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's amazing though that we have to pay tax and yet like Google and Amazon, they manage to like sidestep that shit.
They find a way to do it. And I think it's amazing.
No, honestly.
I'm not even mad. Like, the way they do it, I'm not even mad.
Tax advisor. That's what everybody needs is a tax advisor. Yes.
Cayman Island shit.
But with all of that out of the way, I promise we'll be kind to you today, Taze. I'll stop saying that you're toxic masculinity because you're not. You don't mind?
No, I don't mind.
Are you sure?
100%.
Famous last words. I love it.
Yeah, you said it now.
Yeah. We wanted you to come on the pod because obviously I've known you for years, like going back years. I'm not even going to say how long, but we've known each other for a while. I've seen you become a dad. I've seen how active you are in your daughter's life. So for this Father's Day pod, we wanted to get you on and just speak to you about your experiences of being a girl dad. So I guess I want to know, what's it like being a girl dad? Do you treat her like a princess or do you treat her like one of the mandem? Like she's the extra person of three shots of tequila.
You know what's actually funny? I actually do both. Like because I'm not with her mum. So we have an arrangement where I have her days on, days off, days on, days off. So there's not really a time where she's with me for like a long period of time. So I kind of don't get the opportunity to kind of like wake up with her all the time. So when I do have her, it feels like I have to kind of like give her everything she wants. So that's the kind of relationship that we have. So she does have like a princess complex. But at the same time, I do let her know that, listen, life isn't that easy. So you can't just come to me and say, daddy, I want this. Mm-mm, doesn't work like that. But all in all, she's a great girl. She has never given me bother. Like she literally loved by every single one of our family members. Mm. I don't have anything bad to say about her.
How old is she?
She's 7 now.
Oh.
I saw for her birthday, you did the surprise birthday for her. And she was literally in tears.
Yeah, no, literally. She was in her pajamas. I actually told her to go in her pajamas at her mum's. I'll pick her up. And then she's going to come to mine to sleep. And then we'll do her birthday tomorrow, as in the day after. So obviously when she's coming, she's gone. So when you come to my house, left goes to my bedroom and then right is to the living room. She's come in and automatically decided to go left. I'm like, no, that is right. She's like, okay, cool. She's gone in and I think she clocked. It was a bit weird because she's looking at me like, why are you filming me kind of thing? Obviously, she's opened the door. My sister, my mum, my brothers are all here. And then just literally tears.
Oh, yeah, full blown tears. But I loved that because I feel like it showed her appreciation for family. And I guess sometimes you saying, you know, she definitely has a princess complex, I would say maybe she doesn't necessarily, because she, in that moment, I feel like the tears showed how appreciative she was to have like her family around her and to have you as a dad and, you know, be celebrating her birthday with her family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting what you were saying as well, Taze, about like, because she's not with you all the time, because it's shared, that you feel like kind of you have to maybe make more of an effort or have like more quality time together. Do you think that in a way, like say if you were living together and there all the time, maybe you wouldn't be so present? Do you think that that's a benefit of like sharing her in that way?
I mean, if I compared it to my dad, for example, even though my mum and my dad were together when I was growing up and we all lived together, my dad was hardly there. He was always out. He made it seem as if he was always out working. And I'm talking about, when I say hardly there, I mean, he would go 6 months, a year on end, where he's doing business. And then he'll just come back all of a sudden. Hey, guys, I'm back 2-3 months. Then he's off again. So I don't want to be that kind of dad with her. So I tried to be as hands-on as possible. But I can't lie. Me being honest, sometimes it clashes because I work on weekends. I don't have the average 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. So I work on weekends, and weekends is when I have her. So literally, if we don't spend time in the morning or afternoon, then it's bedtime and then I'm off to work. Yeah. And then the next morning, I might be tired from the night before. That's when she's up. And it hasn't been easy, but we make it work.
Do you think having your dad absent for long periods of time impacted you in your childhood and ultimately kind of your idea of what it means to be a dad?
Funny you say that. I had a conversation with my sister a few weeks ago. Just went to go check her. And then we were talking about our idea of love. And she openly said to me that the last time she spoke to my mum, or our mum, she said that she didn't really see or witness love in the house. And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, listen, we were raised by a great mum, great dad, but doesn't mean we experience love.
Mm.
Like when we watched My Wife and Kids or The Parkers or One on One, that wasn't what we had in our house. If anything, it was my dad's firm hand, and my mum just, whenever my dad's not there, my mum actually supporting what my rules my dad put in place.
Yeah.
So we kind of just like when I, it's weird, even though I have a podcast, when I say my family don't speak, like, we don't speak. My brother, you good? Done. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, it was weird, but we all love each other. We've never argued and all of that stuff. But when I look, when I step out and I look in, we don't speak. My sister, this, the heart to heart I had with my sister was probably the first heart to heart we've had since 18. And when she's 31, I'm 32.
Wow.
But we all know we love each other. We take care of stuff. If anybody needs anything, they know they can call on each other.
Just
get it done. So it's a weird, it's a weird dynamic that we have.
But that dynamic works.
And every family kind of has their own culture, don't they? Their own individual way of being. So did you feel, because I know I've spoken about this a lot, when I separated from my son's dad, I was so like worried about the impact it would have on my son. I was so worried about being that stereotypical single black mom. I was just on every level, I was just worried about it. It turned out to be the best thing, and I'm really proud of myself for doing it. But I did, I think because I grew up with a single mom, I also had like reservations of repeating the same thing. So obviously when your relationship broke down, how did you feel? Were you worried at all about how, you know, being a part-time dad or co-parenting, how did you face it?
This is where I'm going to need you lot to sit tight.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go back to the beginning. So the beginning, me and her mum met because we had a mutual friend who introduced us to each other in a rave. Then fast forward, DMing each other, decided to go over to her house, got drunk, had sex, left. 3 weeks later, Taser, I'm pregnant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So...
Was it tequila, by the way?
No, I was going to say, is that why? Is that where the name of the pod came from?
Tequila. And funny, do you know the funniest thing is? It was my birthday. So technically, it was like birthday sex.
Wow. Yeah.
So then,
wow.
She told me she's pregnant, she's having the baby. And the funny thing is, the way she came at me was more to do with, I know I don't know you, but I'm keeping this baby. Do you want to be involved? It was that kind of angle. And obviously, in my head, I'm like, we don't know each other. Are we sure this is the right thing? Blah, blah. So during the pregnancy, it was headache. Like, because I didn't know her. She didn't know me.
Yeah.
Certain things. We weren't gelling. Anyway.
Sorry, Tay. Did you ever think at any point, you know what? This is long. I don't want to be part of this life.
No.
Okay.
The moment she said she's keeping it and I couldn't change her mind with that.
Yeah.
I had to sit down with my mom. I said, Mom, how can I word this so she understands that I want to be involved as a dad, but not as a partner? That was my main thing. I just wanted.
Did you know that from the get go, or did you think?
100%. I didn't even bother trying. Mm.
I think that's the best thing. You know, like where you waste so much time trying when you know. Did you just know it wasn't the one?
Yeah, because that wasn't my intention. I said I don't want to be a shit boyfriend. I want to be a great dad. So if you understand that, please just allow me to do that. So when she finally had she had the baby the day that I passed my driving test, because I now decided to fix up. Like, I'm not doing none of the stupid activities I was getting up to. I need to start driving. I need to be responsible, all of that stuff. So the day I passed my driving test was the day my daughter was born. Went over to her house that Christmas. My daughter was born on December the 18th. So that Christmas, my family flew to go see my dad in America. So I was here by myself. So more time I was spending time with her family that I just met for the first time.
Wow.
Because everyone's meeting me as, oh, so
you're the dad. Yeah.
It was so awkward. It was weird. Like, I'm meeting granddad, grandma, uncle, auntie, sister, brother, niece, everyone for the first time. And in a weird, it's a weird way of saying it, besides me, I'm the next most important person in that room because I'm her dad.
Yeah.
Apart from her mum and her, it was me. Like, all of you don't really mean anything besides me. Like, we're all here for Mia. So it was very welcoming. And I think that made her, as in Mia's mum, see that, do you know what? Yeah, he wants to be her dad. Like, do you know what? Let me just sit back and let him do his thing. But there'll be times where I understand that you're putting your life into someone's hands that you don't know. So when I say I am so understanding, in a sense that anytime she phones me, I answer the phone. Because I don't want her to feel like, I don't know where my baby is. Where are you? What are you doing with her? Like, as time went on, I kind of understood that, do you know what? I have to be the one that has to probably go the extra mile because of the situation that we're in. It's not a normal situation.
Yeah. She didn't know you. She didn't know if she could trust you, if you knew how to be a dad. And I guess as well, like, she didn't know your family. She doesn't know your brother, your sister, your mum, like, whether...
And you're trusting your most precious thing that's just come out of your body. Like,
exactly. So that's why I kind of went the extra yard to kind of make sure that she knows, listen, regardless of everything, I'm here. And you can see when you look at Mia, she's good.
So, but did you ever, okay, so did you ever, you know, like, especially when the baby's really young, and I imagine that you've got to be there around the mum as well, because you can't take a very young baby out for, like, you know, you might be there at bedtime or whatever. Yeah. Did you ever, like, just think, oh, this is nice, and should we just pour a glass of wine and just...
No.
Get back on it.
Get back on it, yeah. It's a literally birthday sex.
We've only had sex the one time.
Wow.
And that was, but that was to create something amazing.
Yeah, yeah, literally.
That's amazing.
When she's older, I'm going to tell her the story. So you're lucky. There was no try. One shot.
Just one shot. Not three shots. One shot.
Literally.
One shot and daddy came true.
Yes. Wow.
So did you, when, okay, so going back, she tells you she's pregnant. She tells you that she's keeping it. Did you ever think, oh, I want this to be a boy? Like, I hope it, like, did you know what you were having? Because, you know, like, some guy, like, especially, and I'm going to say, especially I have found men that come from African backgrounds and within African culture, it's very much like, no, you've got to have a boy to continue the dynasty, to continue the legacy and the surname. And
oh, no.
It didn't even cross
my mind like that, because... If I go back, like I said, if I go back a step, like I said, my dad was in and out. I'm the eldest out of five. So I kind of raised my younger brother. So it's me, my sister, my brother, 24, my other brother, 18, my other brother, 13. So bear in mind, when Mia was born, my youngest brother would have been five. So I kind of raised him. So I kind of had boys young around me anyway. So I wasn't really concerned about whether I had a boy. And do you know how I know? I didn't care, because I've always said to myself, my first daughter is going to be called Mia. That was always a name that I had, whereas I don't have a boy's name.
Mm. You'd have had to have just called him Mia if it was a boy anyway.
Yeah, it could be Mia, yeah.
So when I realised it was a girl, I said, yeah, this is her name, and her mum agreed.
Wow. That's like, I believe sometimes we know these things, like, we don't know them, but maybe on some deep level we know. Because that's crazy. The mum agreed as well. She could have been like, no, I don't even know you. I'm not letting you decide.
See, she had a boy's name and I had a girl's name. Okay. So when we came together and was like, okay, it's a girl. I was like, what was the boy's name again? She said the name. I was like, no way. If we had a boy, there's no way that would have been his name. Nah.
Wow.
Weren't interested at all.
Other than kind of your dad, was there any other examples of fatherhood around you growing up? So did you have like any uncles or older cousins or anything that you kind of looked at and thought, all right, like, I know I definitely don't want to be like my dad and here and there every now and then or whenever. Was there anyone that you looked up to and you thought, rah, they're a good dad? Like, that's kind of the basis of, you know, fatherhood that I want to be like.
When I was young, my mom's sister, so my auntie, used to live with us, and it's weird because I see her as like my big sister as opposed to my auntie. But the man who took her out of the house, my uncle, yeah, he's probably the nearest example to a good dad that I've seen. So, and we're very close to them. Like, sometimes I wouldn't say I call him dad, but he's the closest that I have as apart from my dad. So seeing the way he's kind of, and he's more, his situation is more, my auntie's a stay-at-home mom. They've had two kids, my cousins. He looks after the whole house. That's him. He's assumed that role from the beginning, from when I've actually known about him. So, yeah, he would have been the next best thing. And I like, kind of like how he's done it. So, yeah.
Oh, that's would you, I mean, like, there is this kind of like stereotype, isn't there, of like absent black fathers. And I think nowadays we're trying to do, you know, black men are doing a lot to kind of combat that. But where do you think that comes from? Do you think do we have issues in the black community with that?
100%. When I first found out I was having a baby, I approached all my boys. Like, yo, guys, every single piece of advice, rubbish.
Really? What did they say? Go on, give us their gems.
One of them was like, listen, I can't lie to you, brother. You're going to have to keep having sex with your baby mum because you don't want another guy to be doing it. I don't know what you're talking about. Leave me. Another one always argues with the mother of his child. Always. But her arguments are valid. But he's just stubborn. It's just like, oh, you said you were going to pick her up at 9. You didn't even turn up. Yeah, but something came up. Like, bro, that's not right.
Like, just communicate.
You got me? So the only person that I know that actually phoned me is my boy Jordan, Bodyguard Jules. And he phoned me and said, listen, it's not as hard as people make it out to be. But one thing you need to do is, no matter what the mother of your child says to you, make sure when you rebuttal, as in your argument, the child comes first. That's it. Forget your feelings, forget her feelings. As long as in conclusion, it falls on the child, you're good. And that piece of advice he gave me literally 8 years ago, I've always had it in the back. So when we do have our back and forths, I always think, does it involve Mia? No, this argument isn't for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it go.
We've argued. That's a good piece of advice though.
I think literally.
Sometimes I feel like it's really important to have good people around you that can give you good advice, because sometimes when I listen to like some of my friends when they're arguing with the father of their kids or with in some regard the mothers of their kids or whatever, and I sit there and I think, you're the problem here, but you don't actually realize it. And even when you're saying to them, yeah, but don't you think, it's like, no, why are you sticking up for him? And it's like, but just take a step back and think about what it is you're arguing about. Like, it's actually dumb. Like, you're both battling against each other. And don't get me wrong, like, co-parenting in some regards is very difficult. Even parenting as a couple is difficult in some regard and in some circumstances. But I feel like sometimes when, like, men have issues with the mother of their kids, a lot of the time when you're looking in, you can see both point of views. But because both are so stubborn, they don't want to just take a step back, see it from the other person's perspective.
They just want to be right, don't they? It's not about or resolving difficult. It. Just want to be right.
And I've learned to be patient. And there's certain situations that I can't fight, even though some people will say, but how are you having that? Like, example, when Mia was around 18 months, 2 maybe, her mum started seeing someone else. That person asked her to move in. That obviously means Mia's going to move in. That obviously means Mia's living with another guy. I can't be the dad to be like, I don't like this. I don't want this to happen. Because then what am I doing? Am I taking over? Is she moving in with me? So there's certain battles that I'm like, I can't bring this up. It might make me feel uncomfortable, but what can I really do? If I'm not going to take over the whole situation, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah. So how did you feel, like, rewinding back a bit when you found out? Did she sit down and tell you, like, I'm dating someone, it's kind of got serious?
How I found out was when she obviously, she sometimes I pick her up, sometimes she drops her. I think this week in particular, she had come to my mum's house to drop her. And obviously she pulled up so he was driving. Okay. So I looked in the car and I was like, oh, okay. And when she had left, that's when she was like, yeah, so I'm obviously seeing this guy, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, cool, no problem. I don't really ask no questions. I just have faith in you. So I just said to her, listen, I have faith in you and I pray that you make the right decisions, because at the end of the day, I don't think you're going to bring any idiot around our child. So that's for me. Same vice versa.
So mature. I want to have a baby with you. I mean...
It just takes one shot, Andy.
I'm a taken woman, so I can't say that. But you know what I mean? It's great. I'm just down for it.
I guess in seven years, like, that I've had me, I was only recently where she'll be in the same house with, like, me having another girl in the house. Normally when I have Mia that weekend, I'm not seeing anybody. So that's kind of like the comfort I've given her mum, to just know that when I have Mia, don't worry, I'm not linking girl or I'm here. Yeah. And if I am linking girls, then I'll drop Mia to my mum's. Mm. Like, we're never ever going to be in the same house. So that's the kind of, like, agreement that we've had. And it's fine. But to answer the question how I felt, it did make me feel a certain way because I don't know what's going on in the house. But I just trusted her judgment and hopefully it worked out. And then now they had a baby. So Mia's got a little sister, yeah. So when they had a baby, there was little things that I can say. It was stuff like, okay, cool. So he would say, I don't really like the way Taser's messaging you. Do you reckon that? I'm like, I got a messenger. That's my daughter's mom. Like, what's your problem? I ain't got no beef with you. He's just like, So one time she messaged me, she was like, you know what? He's not happy with me talking to you, even if it's just like,
what?
Check up. Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that she even said it to you, like,
listen,
or was it in just general conversation?
No, like, okay, I would only ever message her if it was regarding Mia, but I would ask, hey, you're right, how's your day, everything good, then Mia. He was like, he doesn't need to do all of that stuff. All the niceties, he doesn't need to do, just ask about Mia.
Wow.
It would make me. So I was like, all right, cool, no problem. So when she relayed that to me, I was like, all right, cool, I respect your decision, no problem. But then there'll be times where she wouldn't be available to drop Mia to me. Something's come up, so then I would have to go to his house to get Mia.
Yeah.
So me and him would end up.
Did the two of you end up doing like the little mean mugging look?
Not me. I don't have time for that. Give me my daughter. I ain't got time. Funny story. One time, I don't know if he's going to listen to this or someone he knows is going to listen to this, but one time I felt like it was like a standoff kind of thing, but loads of my boys were there, and he made it a thing to introduce himself to all my boys. And
so it's a power play.
They were just like, who's this guy? We're not here for him. I was like, you know what? Then after that, she kind of said to me, do you know what? He's actually cool with you now. I'm like, I don't know why he wasn't in the first place.
Yeah, but it's insecurity, isn't it? It's the same thing when you mentioned about, like, you know, the friend that came with the whole, you got to have sex with her to stop other men having sex. It's the same, that kind of insecure mentality. No matter which side you're on, if you're not secure in yourself, then you're going to look for issues. Because really, he should have been thinking, like, this is the best situation I could have. They've had sex one time. I mean, that's not like he's not walking into a messy situation.
Yeah,
but I guess if you have a little bit of insecurity, then it doesn't take much to kind of set it off.
I think I'm the perfect baby father to have if you want to date someone who has a baby father. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
You should put that on your Tinder profile.
You're unproblematic.
Listen, there's no drama coming from me, you know? You and your baby, man. As long as my daughter's cool, I'm not even asking you to pay for... listen, do your thing. Don't worry about Mia. Mia's good over here. That's me. I've dated women who have kids. Baby father drama all the time.
Do you think if you were to get into a relationship and the person didn't have any kids of their own and they've come into this scenario where you have Mia, would you want your girlfriend to come in as and, you know, take on that role of stepmother, or would you just want her to come in and support you in being a father to Mia? Because I always feel like if I was to move in with like my boyfriend or whatever, and he was to live with me and my daughter, I wouldn't want him, like, my daughter has a dad, but at the same time, if we are all living together as one family, you have to respect that person as a second father that's in this household. I'm not getting into a relationship with the intention of having a second dad for my child, but I would want that person to love my daughter as though it's their own. And when we're in a household together, find a dynamic that works for all of us. But what I don't want to happen is to have someone be like, oh, your daughter, because then that means you're separating the fact that they're not your child when really it's your stepchild, if that makes sense.
I think you answered the question for me.
Yeah, no, sorry. So, yeah, no, that's no, just me, but I kind of want to know what you would...
No, but that makes sense. Like, I wouldn't want to be with someone who's going to come into my, for example, come into my situation and then say, oh, I only want to see you when Mia's not around.
Excuse me.
So, I mean, like, I would never say that to someone, especially if you're talking about being serious with me. If we're just dating, then I understand. But if you're planning on being someone who's important to me, I come with a child.
Yeah, you come together. Yes. Yeah.
you have to. And I would also, even one step further, I would want her to meet Mia's mum. Not they don't have to be besties, but I'd want them to meet and gel and and be cool, because I want them to know each other. Because at the end of the day, there might be times where I need to pop out and I don't want to drop Mia to my mum's. I want to leave her with my girlfriend. I want my Mia's mum to be okay with that.
But I think that is so important, like so important, because like my partner, I'm cool with his son's mum. Like we're actually cool, like bus joke, reply to WhatsApp statuses and whatever. Like it's actually, and I think it needs to be like that, because especially when it comes to women as well, because we're normally the main carers. So if I have someone else's child in my household, then I want them to know that actually whilst your kids are in my care, they're okay, they're good. And I want you to know that, you know, you don't have to worry about them. I'm not there like beating your kids or being like the wicked stepmother or whatever it is. And I think that helps as well with co-parenting, because a lot of the time I see like men that are in a really difficult situation with their exes when there's kids involved, and they'll have a new partner and the new partner is there encouraging the negativity between them. And I think either you don't get involved or you try and facilitate something to be a more positive relationship, because I feel like whenever there's negativity between two parents, it only ever ends up affecting the child. And same way how you were saying, like
the child always comes first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So for example, the example you just gave, if I was with someone who was pushing for the negativity, I'd look at her sideways. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Don't be biased towards me because you want me. I understand. Yeah. It's not. This isn't a battle between you, her, because Mia's always going to win.
Yeah.
So don't do that. When I see men get into situations like that, I have to kind of pull them aside and say, listen, I understand that's your girlfriend, but if it's your girlfriend, that's your daughter and that's the mother of your daughter. Like, relax, or the mother of your child. Mm. Like, I beg you, tackle the situation properly. But yeah, some people get lost in their sauce, man. I've heard, because now that I'm a parent, I feel like, and I'm very public about it, I have so many mums that talk to me.
Well, that's why you're here.
That's why you're here.
We want to hear your words of wisdom.
Everyone's situation is so mad. It's funny to see. Because it's like, I think a lot of situations will be solved if they put their egos aside.
Oh, 100%.
I just understood that. Do you know what? Just because I'm not in love with you anymore, in the sense that I want to be with you, doesn't mean I hate you. And a lot of the things that I do, as a byproduct, it's going to favour you, but it's more to do with the child. For example, Mia's mum can call me and say, Taser, I need to borrow £1,000. Can you help me, please?
Your money's long like that. Wrong.
No. But what I mean is because...
Lend me a grand.
No, Taser. It's not for her.
It's for me. I'm joking. Mia. It's for me.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, so that man would be like, she can't ask me for a grand. Are you mad? Like, so she can go buy this and go buy that. No, but we have an understanding where I know if she's going to the extent of asking me, it's because it's something that's going to benefit me.
Yeah. But in a way, though, you have been lucky because, you know, you didn't know each other. You met, you had this one-time thing. I mean, she could be a different character.
100%. That's why I do facts every day.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because I think that is really challenging, where even for people that have been in relationships and where you may break up and you have real differences in like how the child should be raised, or like there may be things that you that she could be exposing your child to. So if she was a different character, that you would then, you know, have real difficulty with. So it sounds like even though you never were together, there is a level of like mutual respect, and you have similar values. Like you're not kind of there's always going to be small things you disagree with the parenting, but you know, for some people, that could be a mad situation where she is taking a grand to go Ibiza or something.
You're right. And there's also, but I feel like, well, if they were together, then, because a lot of people get together without asking the right questions sometimes.
Oh, yes.
So they realize after the fact. And it's just like, if you knew this beforehand, you probably wouldn't have had a child with this person. And they say, yeah. I'm like, so why didn't you ask that question at the time?
Yeah.
And these are people that actually wanted to have kids together.
Or people get really like optimistic. I feel like a lot of people there, when they break up, they're like, you know, I want him to give this amount of money. He should be like this. He should be like that. And then I'm like, but was he like that when you were together? So why now you're co-parenting, you're like expecting this person to be something they're not. So I 100% hear you on that one.
It's difficult. Everyone's dynamic is different, to be fair.
Do you feel like you were winging it, Taze? Or yes. like 100%. Because I feel like some people feel like, yeah, you know what? You know what really bugs me, right? Is remember when Clubhouse was popping and everybody was on Clubhouse? Not Endy, because Endy just logged into Instagram. So. Yeah. But everyone was on it. And what was really annoying me is everybody had an opinion about topics to do with parenting, raising kids, like all of these things, but weren't parents themselves. And I'm like, you lot are going to be in for a very rude awakening, because you can have all of these ideas about what you're going to be like as a parent, what you're going to do, what you're going to like accept from your kids, what you're not going to accept. And then your kids are going to come and it's all going to go out the window.
100%.
Everything.
I remember when, one time Mia's been dropped off to my mum's. This is when I was staying at my mum's at the time. And her mum was in a hurry. So she just literally basically threw Mia at me. Here's her bag. I'm gone. Gone in the house now, chilling. Mia's coming and said, Dad. I said, what? She goes, where's Mr. Bunny? I said, who's Mr. Bunny? She goes, oh, this is a new teddy bear that she has to sleep with. I said, okay. He's not here. I think I left him in the car. So I phoned her mum. I said, yo, I think Mia's left Mr. Bunny in the car. Look back and see if it's there. She's looked back, it's there. She goes, but I'm not dropping it off. She'll get it.
Mr. Bunny's gone.
Right. This is Friday. And I have her for the weekend. I drop her back to her mum's on Sunday. Mia said, listen, Dad, where's Mr. Bunny? I said, it's in mum's car. She's gone home. Mia started crying. There was no end to these tears until she saw Mr. Bunny. So I said, what? You want me to drive all the way to Hampton
to get Mr. Blood Clout Bunny?
You're looking at me like, Dad, listen, Dad, it's on you. I had to drive.
You drove, yeah.
I should have just picked her up then. I had to drive all the way to Enfield, pick up Mr. Bunny, come all the way back home. The tears stopped immediately. Thank you, Dad. And she just ran upstairs. You just wasted an hour and a half of my time because of this.
No, but it's comfort.
Like I said, that was the moment where I realized, you know what?
The things we do for our kids.
Yeah, it is. And if you heard that story before you were a parent, you'd probably be like,
what? Look at this fool. But you're driving an hour and a half to Mr. go and get Bunny. Who's Mr. Bunny, blood? No. But now you find yourself in that position.
Listen, have you got everything yet? Yeah. All right, cool. Let's go.
Did you read any books or anything like that? Like around fatherhood?
No. I just spoke to a lot of people. Literally just spoke to a lot of people, just have general chit chat conversations. I speak to her mum a lot as well, just to kind of figure out what she does in her house. And then I always tell her mum like stuff that I'm doing in my house, and she's okay with it. So Mia's a big bookworm. She likes reading books. So I've bought her loads of books. She can pick whatever she wants to read. And then what I do is at the end of the day, sometimes before she's gone to bed, I ask her what she read, what it's about, da-da-da-da-da. And then randomly she'll come at me, she's bored. Okay, cool. What's 2 times 2? What's 7 times this? Cool, here's a pound, go bed. Like, we literally just play, but literally it's more, her mum's very, very focused on her education. She's got a tutor that she Zooms with twice a week. She used to do ballet, she used to do swimming, dancing, like try to make her as active as possible. Because I didn't have that. My dad would just about take me football practice. Mm. So for me, and I knew what kind of impact that had on me, whereas I was just chilling on the block and blah, blah. So I'm trying to just make her as busy as possible. And I know she enjoys it. It's not like she's moaning about it. She actually enjoys it. But it's only going to benefit her the older she gets. So
talking about the older she gets, you know, how do you think having a teenage girl is going to be? Bear in mind that you were that guy that went out in the club, slid in the DMs, and one shot later, you know, so you've obviously lived a life.
Yeah.
How do you think, when the teenage years come?
Think about how you were, furthermore, what was teenage Taze like, first of all?
Yeah.
Well,
I see bare stuttering going on.
No, it depends who you ask. Because, like I said, my dad had a very, 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 very strict way of like living in our house. But then when he left, my mom was way more lenient. But it was still a Nigerian household. So I was that kid who was intelligent, so you could see potential, but then always wanted to chill with the man them on the block. So it was a mixture between the two. Carried through school, aced, top student, got into A-levels, winged it, got to uni, winged it, and then realised, you know what, this isn't for me. But in regards to like friendships and stuff, I still have friends that I was friends with when I was like 8, 9 years old. Like, we're still cool. Same block, all of that stuff. So I was cool. And then around women, that kicked in around 14, 15. And then all of a sudden, I was just distracted. Literally, from 14, 15, it was just like... But my mum and dad never sat me down and spoke to me about sex, condoms, nothing.
So were you like... Were you focused on like one girl at a time, or were you a bit of a gallus? What was like?
I said I was a gallus when I was younger. Yeah.
Do you know what? When I met Taze, I think that's how I saw you as a gallus. Definitely. But.
I actually don't know. How did you two meet? Is there a story to this? No.
There was like a weekly comedy show.
Oh, yeah.
We used to go to all the time. And then after, we would go like Tinseltown.
Yeah.
And it became a frequent thing. I still got a picture of you at Tinseltown, by the way.
Wearing the 40s t-shirt at the time. Yeah, there's no backstory to it, Andy. There's no undercover lovers. We were always just cool. Yeah, like I'm busting joke and stuff. And then I feel like maybe we lost contact, innit, for like a few years. And then I remember bumping into you at Jeanette's birthday. Do you remember when she had it in at that place, that adult kind of play thing with all the buttons?
What?
Where? Like a few years ago.
Yeah,
where were you at?
An adult play thing?
That place in near Shoreditch. Do you remember?
The ball pit. It's literally an adult ball pit.
Sounds
a lot worse.
I was like, oh my God, Taser. Oh my God, Karina. And then, there's no juicy backstory. We literally were just cool. Like, we'd always just bust joke at like the comedy place, go eat after, like literally. But then I'd always see Taze like the man them come in and they're all smooth and the girl's like, oh my God, Taze, are you right? And then Taze would just be so smooth with it. Yeah, you're right.
I've always been cool talking to women. I don't find it uncomfortable to talk to women. So you'd see me talking to someone and you'd think I'm moving to them. It's just like, no.
Do you just like talk normally, or are you one of those guys that does the whole like wet lip, like, no, mega kind of...
Literally, come on. You could be with me and we're just cool. We're just banter. But it looks to other people that... obviously, because it's Taze, he's trying to think, no, I'm just having a conversation, just chatting. I'm cool.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. So, Taze, tell us then, thinking about how you were gallus, do you have any worries about Mia becoming a teen and being a teenager?
I am giving her all the information from early. I'm equipping her with all the information. If she now wants to go out and do whatever she wants to do, all I can do is put my hands up and say, listen, at least I tried. I'm not trying to try shelter her from it. I think that my mum and dad did that, and I don't think it works.
I'm very open with my daughter, and obviously Andy's son's a year below my daughter, so Soraya's 11 and Miles is what, 10?
He's Andy. 10, yeah.
So I don't shy away from talking to her about stuff, but what I have started doing, well, to be fair, I think we've been doing it since she was young, like a baby, is knowing, like, making her have high expectations. Mm-hmm. So small things like, you know, like now I see this generation now, like they want to be wined and dined. They want to go to nice restaurants. And that is, that's their perception of love and what it means to have somebody interested in you, to go to a nice expensive restaurant and, you know, to be wined and dined and have someone spend money on you. And I don't know where that comes from, but with my daughter, her godfather is very like intentional in, you know, if she says, can I have some money? He'll give it to her. If she wants to go out to eat, he'll take her out to eat. same with me. Like, she's been to Ivy Asia. I haven't even been to eat in Ivy Asia yet. Like, she's been to all of these like really nice, like prestige restaurants. And I remember for her fifth birthday, she asked, I said to her, what do you want to do for your birthday? And she was like, oh, I want to go to that place where you can see all of London. She was talking about the fucking Shard. Wanted to go to afternoon tea at the Shard. But do you know what? We took her for afternoon tea at the Shard because I said, do you know what? I want her to feel like this is normal for her and it's stuff that she does with her family as a normal, as a standard, so that someone's dusty son can't come and try and wine and dine her when she's older by taking her to a nice restaurant or whatever and her thinking, rah, like this is new. Like, you've got to do more to
wow, this is impressive. When I was a teenager, I'd just be taken right round the bike shed or somewhere. No. I'm just being honest.
When you say someone dusty son, I'm not like that. So
no, but you're not someone's dusty son.
No, but what I mean is with me, when I was younger trying to woo women,
yeah,
I weren't doing that. I'm saying, listen, I'm a good time in regards to sit down and get to know me, or we're doing activities. Like,
and that's what it should be.
Yeah, it wasn't about how much I'm spending. It was more about, are you having a good time here?
But that's how it should be, Taze. But now, and I'm not talking about teenage, I'm talking about like early 20s, mid 20s. I always see the conversations around, yeah, but where's he taking me? What can he do for me? But you should be doing those things regardless. What you should be looking for in a guy, if you're serious like about settling down with,
yeah, person,
and someone
character.
Who actually cares about you and wants to get to know you, not spending ridiculous amount of money.
When we were 17, 18, 19, we were looking forward to going to Magaluf, Malia, yeah, and Napa. Yeah. These lot are 18, 19, and Dubai is the destination. Dubai is not cheap.
And they want to stay at, like, what's that hotel? The one that that everyone wants to...
Burj Al Arab, or whatever it's called. But yeah, I know.
Do you know how big that hotel is?
Listen!
I've been there, actually. Not to stay. We went there for an afternoon, and it's like, it's insane.
It's that hotel.
Tell you, isn't that where you stayed when you went to Dubai last time?
The first time, because I didn't know where I was going. I went with Chizzo and that. So I just followed Marv. I just followed their lead, and it was like... You got me at the five, but then the next time, no, the first time I went, I stayed at the JW Marriott. Second time, the five, and then third time I got an apartment.
Apartment, yeah. Because I feel like with Dubai, you don't even so even with that now, my best friend is taking his daughter for her 16th birthday in October. It's during half term. That's where she's going. But I feel like things like that, it's as you get older, you know that you've done certain things with like your family and whatever else. So when it comes to looking at, because I feel like now the generations that are coming up behind us have become so materialistic and so kind of swayed by social media and music videos and things like that as to, you know, what should be their normal and what men should, especially for girls, what men should be doing to spoil them and to do all of these things with them. And I don't know if it is that their parents didn't do anything with them growing up. And I'm not saying you have to have extravagant, expensive holidays, but you've still got to invest time and do spend quality time with your kids, because then as they get older, and I feel like, especially with the girls, they become older and they look for that in men or in other places.
What age would you say it starts? Because I remember when Mia had a good report card. It was like amazing, amazing. Oh, by the way, there was a... sorry to digress, but there was a bring your dad to school day.
Yeah.
So I went in, loads of dads sitting in the back of the classroom watching their kids, just like, listen, Mia was on point. It's like she knew I was there. So because of that, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna get you something. So I think I put like about £150 in my pocket. I said, we're getting JD. Now, I'm under the impression that she's gonna go for the most expensive pair of trainers because I'm giving her free rein to say, pick whatever you want. This girl didn't care. She just said, daddy, I want this. I looked at the price, it was £17.
Yeah, my son's like that. He doesn't care.
Like, yeah. She's like, yes, dad, I want this. I was like, no. Let's look around a bit more. So I'm looking at the Vapor Maxes, the Air Max 90s, Air Max 95s. I'm like, you don't like these? She's like, no, dad, I want those ones. I'm like,
good, yeah.
Cool. Let me get you two. Got her two pairs. She was the happiest. And for me, it was like, bro, I promise you, my dad took me £200 shoes, guys. But it's because literally she gets, again, what I said in the beginning, she basically gets what she got, a Moncler jacket for her birthday.
She gets stuff that
her mum was like, why would you buy her a £500 jacket? I said, I didn't buy it for her. Someone gifted her. But she gets whatever she wants. She's got an iPad. The next year, she's got a new iPad. It's like, she gets what she wants, but not like we're breaking the bank to do it. It's just...
But it's about values though, isn't it, as well? Like, it's about what's important, because, you know, the fact that what she's getting is like a tutor and sounds like a good education and love and attention. And that's what kids really want. Like, I mean, the fact that we as adults are obsessed with labels and this and that, I mean, I think we put that on the kids. They're not born with that. They don't care. They just like orange, something orange, or their favorite color. It's only when we start, or then, you know, someone at school mentions, oh, what, you haven't got this. And then it all begins.
But that leads me to my next question. So when does it start? Because even now, obviously, she's obsessed with this girl called Tiana on YouTube. So she's like, oh, I want to do it as well. I'm like, all right. That is
my daughter as well. Make me and Soraya do a joint, because that's all I ever hear.
No, but I said to her, what's your first? Your first video is going to be a prank on your mum. Go ask your mum. Mum shut it down immediately. Exactly. We ain't got time for that. That's not us.
Yeah.
But then one time I took her to the studio where I was editing my YouTube video. And she's like, Dad,
you're doing it.
So wait, you can do it, but I can't. Like, when I say some of the things she says, I'm just like, ah.
Oh. And it makes sense. Like, what she's saying absolutely makes sense.
It does.
I definitely think there's a shift when they start secondary school, and when they start going into like year eight. And what I would hope with...
Yeah.
I'm at that point. My daughter goes to secondary school in September. But I feel like the way that we are, or the way that I am anyway, is... there's a balance. So I have, you know, my designer shoes, but then also we go shopping in Primark and stuff like that. There's no value put on, more value isn't put on one over the other. And I'm not someone who just goes shopping for the sake of it. I actually hate shopping. I go shopping if I need something. So with her, I could say to her, okay, you've got £100. Would you want to go and buy or something? And I guarantee you, she'll ask for something like that bubble tea stuff. She likes the bubble tea stuff. And she might ask for, you know, the stick-on nails that you buy in Boots. Yeah. That's like £2. She's very much like that. But at the same time, she now has a bank card. So then I'll put like £20 on it a week or whatever. And she'll say, Mum, can I go to the shop? And she'll be like, do you need anything from the shop? And I'll be like, oh, I haven't got any money, but I need like washing up liquid or something. She'll be like, oh, it's okay, I've got money on my card. So I feel like she's still very grounded in that respect, in that regard. But I feel like I know when maybe she gets to the end of year seven, year eight, you'll start having those outside influences that you can't control. You can raise your child to be as self-assured, kind, caring, and have all of these values and qualities. But as soon as they step out into the outside world and into school and other influences, that's when they start changing slightly. So I feel like all we can do is just instill in them the best values, morals, examples that we can, and hope that they're not easily influenced by external sources.
She's going to hit year nine and say, listen, Mum, you see this £20 you're putting on my mom's money?
It's not going to cut it. Where's my £150 in JD Sports? But you know what though? It also depends on, because I always remember when I went to a private school out of London, I went to loads of different schools, and one of them was this private school out of London. I lived out of London. And, you know, they were some of the richest people that I've ever met. And they didn't have any designer trainers or designer shoes. They lived in houses with tennis courts and swimming pools, but they didn't have the same. They used to wear like tracksuit bottoms and wear whatever. And then they'd go to India for a year and live in a tent or whatever, you know? So I think sometimes like these different, when we come from backgrounds of not having much money, we can place like overvalue on feeling like we have something, like the cars, the trainers and everything else. And I think that really opened my eyes to like how much we can influence our kids.
I think it depends though, Andy, because the kids in my private school, their parents, they were coming to school with some fucking Chanel handbags. And somewhere. I was like, I looked at that and I was like, that's so unnecessary. Your school bag does not need to be a Chanel handbag. Like, that's so unnecessary.
I think one of the things that was in black, because me growing up, we were poor. Like, I used to go to school, it was 50p a day. People laugh at me now, like, what do you mean, bro? I was making that 50p stretch.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally. But one thing that changed my perception on things in regards to, like, realizing that there's more to just being on ends was when I started traveling.
Yeah.
So when I started traveling, so for example, Faded, for me, was born out of me going eight, had the opportunity to go ATL with guys who were older than me, I think around 21, 22. I didn't really do the whole raving on the uni scene. That wasn't really, it wasn't for me because one, I couldn't even leave my house, too tough. And two, if I did, it would have to be a motive that it was worth potentially getting in trouble for when I returned. So I had to pick and choose what kind of motives. But then when I went to ATL around 22, 23, I experienced like a whole different type of nightlife. And I said, you know what? This is what I want to do. So then when I came back, West End was dead to me. It was just like, this is dead, man. This isn't partying. Then the kind of, that's where my events side of things came. And then by doing events and putting in hard work, I was literally seeing an idea that I had generate money. Like I didn't have a job. I've never had a 9-to-5. I've never worked corporate. I've never done all that stuff. It's more, I have an idea, I execute it, then I see money. I've always been like that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of trying to, for me, that all I can do is instill what I've learned into Mia. So when Mia says stuff like, daddy, I want money, I'm like, okay, how are you going to make this money? She's there, come back to me when you got an idea. Because, you know, I'm not just going to keep giving you money. Like, I get, like, you want new like leggings or new tights or jump or whatever, but when it comes to like, I want to buy a new iPad, for example, if there's nothing wrong with your old iPad, you're gonna have to find a way to generate that money. I'm not, if you find a way to make £300, I can't stop you on what you're gonna buy. And I feel like as she gets older, that's what I'm gonna want her to kind of be doing when she's in school. That, don't just say, oh dad, this person's got a Chanel bag, so I deserve one. I don't know that person. You don't know what that person's gone through. Focus on what's going on in your house. And if you can see that mum's doing this, mum's doing that, and you start paying attention to what's actually going, because that's what I had to do. I couldn't ask my mum and dad for anything. I couldn't. They didn't have it. And if they did, it was more like they had it, but they didn't show us. Made it as if this is how we're living. But we traveled to like Nigeria a couple of times. Then I also saw how my other side of the family were living. And I'm like, right, in comparison to you lot, I'm living all right. So. But they're happy. They're actually happy. So it's just you might not think about it, but those things kind of play a part in, and then I'm comparing myself to like people that I grew up with and seeing their situation and thinking, some of my boys haven't even gone to Shoreditch. That's foreign land to them.
Yeah.
There's a whole new world out there, guys. Like, follow me, Shoreditch. Oh, that's long, man. Okay. So this is what's kind of like shaped to me. So I'm going to, I guess that's what I'm going to try and do with Mia.
Yeah. And not, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Not let her feel like.
Because it's freedom. It's freedom.
But not let her feel like the school is the end. Oh my God, she has a Chanel bag, or she has Balenciaga trainers in year 9. I'm inadequate. No, you're not. That's just her now. Give it 3-4 years, you can buy hundreds of them. It's a journey. Just remember that. And that's one thing I give my dad. He's always told me, listen, who you are now is not who you're going to be tomorrow. Relax. Just, it's a marathon, not a race. Do you know what I mean? Just chill. So I was like, all right, cool. And then I kind of learned as I gone on, even my brother and my sister, we're all doing mad things. And my mom and dad should be proud. But at the time, I can't lie, felt like hell.
I think maybe, you know, when you talk about like your dad being quite strict, do you think that was more him being protective? And do you think if it was him being protective, do you think you're going to be quite protective or are quite protective over Mia?
Yeah, well, there's one thing my dad had that as I got older, I realized he knows how to read people. So the reason I couldn't go to uni, as in live on campus, was because according to him, I wasn't ready. Whereas my sister, he was easy on her, but in a sense of you just focus on school. My sister wasn't really like chilling on the block or had loads of friends and all that stuff. She just wanted to make sure she was good academically. But when it comes to like natural talent isn't the word I'm looking for. Someone who's just smart on the go. Mm-hmm. That was always me. But my sister had to kind of work to get there. So he saw that and was like, because you can easily do it as in me, you're easily going to get distracted because you just assume that you can just open the book on the last day of school and pass. Whereas your sister needs to work. She'll get there, but she just needs to work. He always used to say it, and we never understood what he meant. Now, when I look at me and my sister as 30-year-olds, my sister has worked herself up the corporate ladder, whereas me, I have an idea and I execute. My dad's taught her. So that's how he kind of raised us differently. So for me, what I need to do is just pay attention to what Mia's strong points are. And she's very, very nurturing. She likes looking after people. She just assumes the role. Whenever she moves into a room, she just assumes the role. Like, I'm the one that's cleaning up, or I'm the one that's taking care of people. So that might be something that she kind of wants to go down. So I'm going to pay attention to it.
That's so important to be able to pay attention to them and let them lead you as kids. Because I think so often some parents, we can, you know, put our own thoughts or ideas or aspirations onto our kids. Whereas actually, they're all little individual kind of souls who have their own way. But having said that, do you think you would parent her differently being a boy, particularly as she gets older? Because I know, like, I'm really open with my son, but I know, like, with my dad, I remember when I was 27 and I was scared to tell him I was pregnant. I was like, oh my God, he's going to know I've had sex age 27. Do you know what I mean? There is something sometimes with dads and daughters. Do you think, you'll change because she's a girl, particularly when she hits those teenage years, or do you think you'd parent the same?
I mean, even when I think about it, there's certain things I don't want to have the conversation, but I'm gonna have to. Like, I can imagine the first time she, for example, gets her period, if she's been in my care, she might feel like, oh, I can't really tell dad, I got a phone mom, or she might be like, you know what, dad, guess what? And I'm like, whoa, but I don't know, it's one of them things where I'm anticipating it, I think about it, but I won't know until I get there. She might come and say, dad, got a boyfriend. I want him to meet you. I can't turn around and be like, no boyfriend. I mean, if you decided you have a male friend in your life and you feel like you're mature enough, then all I can really do is kind of try. Like, it's weird. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like Karina said earlier, I feel like I'm winging it. I've done well so far. We'll see how it goes.
One thing I'll say, Tazer, you mentioned about the periods. One thing I'll say with that is, even as a woman, I don't even think it's even an easy conversation to have with your kids, because having that conversation, you have to admit that your kids are getting older and they're not like your little babies anymore. And, you know, even Natalie has spoken previously about, you know, trying to explain periods to her kids, and it just went completely wrong. She started explaining about like birds and eggs and this, that and the other, and her kids were like, so we're birds and we're going to lay eggs, and it just went completely wrong. I basically just gave my daughter a book and was like, here you go, read this, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. And so I feel like, but then the way that I've kind of approached it with her as well, like, she started her period now, but the way that I approached it with her prior to that was making sure I had everything in the house, letting her know that it's completely normal. Like, it's normal. It's something that all women go through, and to not be embarrassed by it, you know, encouraging her to talk to her dad about it and whoever else, just so, because I feel like, I remember watching an interview with Amber Rose, and she was talking about raising her son, Sebastian. And she was saying, she talks to him about periods. He knows what a condom, a tampon is. He knows what sanitary towels are and all of that. Because what she doesn't want is for him to become older and be one of those boys that's like, ugh, you're on your period. Ugh. Like, what? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you know what's funny? And funny enough, yeah. So I got in trouble when I was younger, around 15, 16, because a girl texted me saying that, oh, I can't come and see you because I'm on my period. But my mom saw the text. My mom took it as, why the hell is she telling you that? I'm like, because I know what it is. I know, like, what happens when you're on it. So that's an excuse that she's giving me. She's like, but why is she telling you that? Like, that's not something you tell boys. My mom couldn't fathom that. So even in my house, whenever my mom or my sister was on, they wouldn't tell us. It wasn't a thing where, but I always
knew. Could
you
not tell? Were they not, like...
She's under the impression, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She's never, ever discussed it. But I'm like, I know, man. Like, do you know what I mean? I'd avoid them. I'd be like, okay, cool. Do you know what I mean? But I get it. Like, I know. So now my friends, they can easily tell me. And it's not like, I know what it is. Do you know what I mean? But some guys, till today, big 30, man, I don't want to see her. I'm like,
what? And the thing is I just think, like, when they have kids and they have girls, what are you going to do? Because imagine as like, I remember when I was growing up and like, I'd say to my brother, can you just go to the shop and get me tampon? And he'd be like, all right, what ones do you want? He wouldn't even bat an eyelid. Like even the other day I said to him, like, when you go to the shop, can you get me some tampons? He was like, oh, what? And it was just a normal conversation. And I think as dads who, whether you're raising girl childs or boy childs or whatever, you have a responsibility to normalize stuff like that to the generation that you're raising so that, you know, normal things like puberty and periods and whatever, girls aren't having to go through that with boys saying, come out my bed, man, like you've leaked on my sheet. So it should be normal. All right, cool. It's happened. Let's wash the sheets. Keep it moving. I remember one of my ex, I came on in at his house and he drove me to Tesco's. He was like, oh, don't worry, you can stay in the car and I'll go and get the stuff. Just tell me what ones you need. He was ringing me and he was like, why is there so many? Like, there's just so many.
No, there's a lot. I remember I had to go get my mum. There's one with the one drip. Which one am I getting, mum?
Even I find it confusing. Like, that's fair enough.
Like, even stuff like, funny you say that, even stuff like, for example, my little brother, he's 13 and him and Mia are like this. But remember when Mia was younger, like 2 and 3, he would have been like 7, 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, like, so I'm, me and my mum are the only ones that can give Mia a bath. Maybe my sister, but my brothers wouldn't, only because she's a girl, which is understandable. But then Mia will jump out of the bath and try to run around naked because she's still a baby. And yeah, my brothers would be like, like, because they respect her decency, but Mia doesn't understand.
Yeah,
like,
of course not.
It's innocent. But it's one of them things where it's like, there's going to be a point where she realizes that, you know what, I can't do that. And that's the moment where I'm going to be like, oh, she's realizing she's actually a girl. Yeah. No, she's just playing about. I mean, like,
yeah.
Those are the moments she's going to be like, here we go. I'm going to have to start buying her bras.
Yeah, Taze, honestly, you've got all of that to come. You've got it all to come. But I guess. Wow. Honestly, I could literally sit here and talk to you all night, Taze. And I think it's for me anyway, it's really interesting just hearing a male perspective around raising a 100%, girl and just on fatherhood and the experiences. So you're definitely going to have to come back at 100%. Some point.
Happy to come.
Please do.
But I guess this is about Father's Day. So happy Father's Day in advance.
Thank you.
I guess I want to know, do you love it? Do you love it? Yeah. What is Father's Day like for Tequila Tates?
Well, nowadays it's usually, Daddy, what do you want? I got you a gym top and a fragrance or something. But usually we just go out to eat. I usually take everybody out. So it'd be me, my mum, and if my sister's around, sometimes my brothers and Mia, we just go out to eat, just do playful stuff, maybe go arcade or bowling or whatever. Just enjoy spending time with her. Like I said, because it's shared, it's just one of them things where it's just like, on the days that I have her, when it is Father's Day, we just do something, maybe go to cinema, whatever she likes to do. It's more about her for me. I'm not really fussed in a sense. I mean, you're a father every day.
I mean, you have definitely got the gold star from us of fatherhood on this podcast. But do you know, we have a lot of mums that listen. Is there anything you would like to say to mums out there about dads and about your experience?
The main thing is, listen, like, again, like I said earlier, we're all winging it. Please, mums, right. I understand it can be a bit difficult because you're looking at him as a grown man thinking, why are you so stupid? Didn't you know this? Didn't you know that? Just be patient with us. And we're not mind readers. Sometimes you have to tell us. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of say, this is what I want done. This is how it should be done. Do it. Not, didn't you know it should be done like this? No, I didn't know. Like, please, patience. Just exercise patience. And then hopefully our kids, our future kings and queens, they turn out all right.
Amazing. I love that. Taser, thank you so much. Before we go, where can people find you? Because obviously,
anyone wants you as a baby father or just to listen to your podcast, where can they go?
Do you know what? I might call this pod One Shot.
So I am 1/3 of a award-winning podcast, Three Shots of Tequila. Check us out on Spotify.
Woo, woo, woo.
And I'm also the guy where people want to come to have a good time. I do events, so go check that out. Go Get Faded on Instagram. And then my Instagram is, personal Instagram is Taser Black. Twitter, Taser Black. Snapchat, Taser Black without the K. So yeah. catch me on all socials.
Amazing.
Well, thank you so much for listening. And thank you again, Taze, for joining us. It's been certainly inspirational. Please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe.
Yep. And if you're not following us on socials, then please do follow us at Black Mums Upfront on all socials, or check out our website, www.blackmumsupfront.com.
And of course,
website, you know, we're big in it. We've got a website and that. Hold on. So the pod's about to end and Natalie pops up onto
with her hair did. Someone decides to join us. Then?
Nah, she's trying to get her mic on, isn't she? Come on then, let's be having ya.
You can say your one line and then you're cut off. That's it.
say your one line, Nat.
You got a mute.
She's trying to turn her mic on. I can see it.
I'm trying to turn my mic on. And please make sure that you subscribe.
We said that already. Try again.
We said that.
Next week.
No. You got to thank Daniela.
You got to thank the sound engineer.
Thank the sound engineer. Thanks, Daniela, for making Karina and Endy and Taser sound absolutely wonderful on this amazing podcast about fatherhood.
And
we'll be back next week.